Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Lately, it seems that humanity has reached a tipping point in our collective consciousness, and people are becoming very distressed and unstable. With the world rapidly changing, there are obstacles and pressures facing all of us, and that includes not just women and minorities, but contemporary men as well. In life, most men do their best by winging it, but often experience extreme hardships of their own in the process. Our guest today is Michael Ronan, author of the new book, Modern Masculinity for the Conscious Man. Michael is an interdisciplinary cultural commentator, pulling together the threads of an unraveling world to provide clarity amidst all the crazy. Hello, Michael, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Paul, thank you so much for the introduction. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, let's start by asking you, which demographic did you write this book for?
So this is basically a book for the younger man. I would say between 25 to 35 years old, but sort of like maybe 5 years either way. It's also useful for the older man to understand the world that modern or contemporary men are living in and the pressures and obstacles they face. These pressures and obstacles are very different from the ones that they faced when they were younger.
And what role are you taking in this exposition?
Well, essentially, I'm a map maker. My book is a map, and I'm presenting a map. And of course, you know, a map is different from the terrain it's describing. It simply represents a simplified version of that terrain. Mm-hmm. So as basically to make that terrain, navigating it much simpler. If the map is too detailed, then you may as well not have a map. You may as well just go out and start walking. And if the map is too simple, then you can easily make a wrong turn and go completely wrong. So you just have to remember that you can't rely on the map completely. You have to use your own judgment while having the map in hand. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to make a map of how men can realize their powers and capacities and their potentials in this world as they find it. And also, additionally, how to create a better world so that they can unlock greater powers that they have within them.
And how much older than your demographic are you?
I'm nearly 60 years old.
Okay. So yes. You're an experienced older man who's making a map based on his own experience as well as your cross-disciplinary studies.
Yes, so this is based on not so much my own experiences. I mean, clearly we've all had different life paths. My life has led me down many, many different avenues. I've been an actor, a teacher. I've worked in banks. I've worked in publishing. I've been a baker, a farmer, you know, pretty much you could name anything. But what underlies my passion for life is my love of knowledge and learning, and I love uncovering and discovering things that are generally not part of the collective awareness.
And here we have a book entitled Modern Masculinity. So I wonder if you could share with our audience, how do you define masculinity?
Yeah, well, masculinity is essentially it's a penetrative energy. So just like men penetrate with their penises, masculinity itself is also penetrative. It's outwardly directed. It's a kind of an energy or a force which alters and develops and modifies and recasts its environment for good or bad. Mm-hmm. And its opposite, femininity, receives, surrenders, flows with change, wisely or unwisely. And so there are various traits, masculine traits, which, so just to name a few of them, like being strategic, self-disciplined, being grounded, structured, rigorous, direct. Those sort of traits, yes.
And so would it be accurate to say that you kind of adopt a Jungian definition of masculine and feminine? As you've just described?
Yeah, the the yin and the yang. I adopt more of an Eastern approach to masculine and femininity and see it through in terms of essences and energies. If you're familiar with the symbol of the yin and the yang, it's a black and a white swoosh with opposing little circles contained within them. And these little circles represent the opposite sex within. So there's a portion of femininity within the masculine and vice versa.
Right, right. Well, I'm an I Ching author, so I'm very familiar with the yin and yang.
Okay.
and the first and the second hexagrams, which are kind of the way that you describe masculinity and femininity. But I just wanted to share that with our audience. Now, you write, in societies which provided a rite of passage to boys, expectations of manhood were largely predetermined. Well, I have a couple of questions about this. So our society is not really providing passages other than maybe a driver's license. It's just there's nothing to compare with the initiation rituals that would happen in hunter-gatherer.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do seem to have more of that for females. Do you think that's true?
I see it happening more and more these days. There are more and more ceremonies which are specifically designed just for women. And boys these days have less and less. They're left to figure it out for themselves, right, which is good in one sense. You know, they can enter the world as an adult and choose their own path to walk down. The flip side of that is that they don't know which path to choose. They're adrift, right, especially if they grew up without having, you know, a strong masculine presence in the household or a mentor or a teacher or a coach who provided positive modeling to them.
Right. And in this day and age of the absent father, that's largely the case. Whereas one could argue, for better or for worse, that girls grow up basically pretty tight with their mothers. I mean, they learn how to do things by helping their mothers do things to a much greater extent than boys do with their fathers, I would think.
Yeah, the mother is basically the girl's, I describe her as the gatekeeper to womanhood. And that's the reference point for the girl. The girl basically imbibes her mother. Mm-hmm. She soaks in her mother's relationship with the world. And if her mother has a relationship which is dysregulated, then oftentimes that young girl will take on board the mother's pathologies. And so her relationship with her mother then becomes her relationship to the world and her relationship with her own self-image, with her her own body, the way she regards money and sex and boyfriends and so on. These are things which she takes through the mother, and then that flows through her into the world she inhabits.
Right. And, you know, as you write in your book, and I think this speaks to that, when girls mature, they automatically become women without any need for self-justification or societal approval, although they face other pressures. But in our society, a man has an expectation to constantly defend and assert his manhood. Can you explain why that is so? Because you further point out that there's something profoundly impermanent about the male identity, since it can be lost if he fails to live up to it.
Yeah, we all know the phrase, be a man. You know, men know this phrase, be a man. And there's some shame involved when you're not able to live up to that phrase of not being a man. So we have this tenuous grip on what it is to be a man and masculinity itself. You know, someone who doesn't carry himself with confidence, who puts the pussy on a pedestal, who is shy or backward or soft-spoken, all of these things are basically claims, negative claims on manhood.
And we're seeing a lot of passivity in younger males these days. Maybe it's related to the fact that, you know, they're brought up by women. Their mothers and teachers are largely female. You think so?
Yeah, you know, most of the people that a young man comes into contact with these days, compared to historically, are women. A lot of men are growing up in single-parent households, most of which are mothers, not fathers. Right. And when they get into the educational system, most of the teachers there are female, and the educational system itself is oriented more towards female styles of learning. They don't nowadays derive their sense of manhood from other men because they have never encountered that male role model. So they've become softer in nature over time. This is not a bad thing. I think there are many benefits for men becoming softer in nature, but the flip side of that is they become more feminized, more compliant, more accommodating, and there are various societal and cultural factors which determine why that is, and partly it's due to a changing world. Partly it's due to the fact that we no longer need to go out and hunt game, and bring it back and dress it and push a plow. Fight in foreign lands, hand-to-hand combat, that sort of thing. We don't need to be gritty men anymore.
But, you know, what about testosterone? They show, I've been reading in the news in the last year or so, that testosterone levels in males are dropping precipitously at really young ages too. And, a lot of people might celebrate that because there's a lot of feminist literature coming out that demonizes testosterone. Like there was one book called Testosteronus Rex or something like that. But is there anything good about testosterone? And are we—
Absolutely.
What are we losing by this this drop in testosterone among males?
Well, it's testosterone is part of the neuroscience of sex differences. So when we're in utero, the mother is pregnant with child, in utero, our brains are basically soaked in either testosterone or estrogen, and that predisposes men and women to masculine or feminine traits, behavioral traits. So for men, when they are marinated in testosterone in utero, what it does is it predisposes them to systematic thinking, logical analysis, spatial awareness, it's deductive functioning, things like that. So they're more predisposed to focus on material things in the world. So that's why testosterone is important. It gives us our masculinity.
Right, but for what purpose? For the purpose of creating material things or invent?
Yeah. Essentially, the male brain has been the architect of modern civilization. It's been the male brain that has produced the majority of the inventions, the majority of the systems that we find in the world. He's produced gadgets galore. All of these things are of benefit to both men and women. It's the reason we're talking with each other now over the internet, is because one man or a team of men invariably invented the technologies that we utilize in this modern age.
People can look at the world today and look at the crisis that we're in and how the reliance on technology is not really saving the planet or doesn't seem to be, and they could say, well, that's all a curse. I don't know what they would have us do, go back to nomadic life or something, aren't things out of balance? Have we had too much testosterone, and are we kind of correcting for that now?
Well, it's who we are. We are men, and it's not the testosterone that is causing the problems that we face in the world. It's essentially it's the compass, not the man himself, that is broken. I write about toxic masculinity a little bit in the book, and I don't actually agree with that term, because it identifies masculinity itself as the problem. And essentially, when a man is considered to be toxic or destructive in some way, it's not because of testosterone or being a man or being masculine. It's because of the wounding that he carries, which he has experienced earlier in his life, mostly in childhood as well. So our childhoods our formative years are our childhood, and a lot can go wrong when we're a kid. We don't have the mechanisms by which to defend ourselves psychologically or emotionally, and we carry this with us into adult life.
And there doesn't seem to be nearly the amount of information or literature that's focused on the wounding of the male child as compared to girls and women and, you know, what with the Me Too movement, et cetera.
Yeah. You know, the world is actually, I mean, what's modern men are more and more, in a certain way, they're like boys. They're lacking in grit. They are unable to meet life's challenges and stay the course of life's inevitable setbacks. In fact, the use of the term adulting by millennials, this is a new word that's coming to the modern vernacular, adulting. It means becoming an adult. It means becoming more and more responsible, accountable, and getting greater and greater amounts of maturity and wisdom, you know, so and so on. That's what it means to become an adult. But they actually kind of mock this phrase because they don't carry the same sort of innate, if you like, or programmed, perhaps innate and programmed, let's say, concepts of adulthood that our generation did. So they have this delayed mastery of adult responsibilities. And it seems to be very foreign from their experience.
And so your book is Modern Masculinity for the Conscious Man. What makes a conscious man?
Well, I guess I should sort of say what an unconscious man is to start out with. Essentially, an unconscious man is when I sort of referred to this a little earlier about childhood, we hand over our minds to others unconsciously. So in childhood, we handed over our thinking to a large extent to our parents, our school, our society, and we were formed by their influence. So we carry unconscious programmings with us into adulthood. So even though we can experience life consciously, we are largely predisposed to these scripts, both internal and also from the larger society through the media, news media, mass media, which are external, and they favor this unconscious thought and behavior. So to be a conscious man is it's kind of like the difference between waking up and growing up, I would say. So I'll define that quickly for you. Growing up is more complex, but it's as essential as waking up. And I largely focus on growing up with this book, which is about developing one's character and the way you understand and meet the world. And I touch a little bit on waking up, which in the spiritual sense in the book, in the chapter Unity Consciousness. But it's important to focus on both. But it's really important to reflect on, and I talk about this at length, about discovering your true nature so that you can engage with life for the conscious man with personal integrity and authenticity. And to honor your personal path of mastery. So that means, you know, that personal path of mastery involves everything. It means what you think, what you say, what you do, and what your intention is, how you meet the world. But you do so in reference to yourself, to your own true nature, your true self, and you focus on what works best for you. You as the unique individual that you are.
Uh-huh. And what sort of pressures and obstacles do modern men face that our fathers and grandfathers never had to?
Well, we touched on this a little earlier. So modern men's masculine qualities are undeveloped owing to this lack of guidance that they experience in society. But I would also say that the world is far more limited in its opportunities for men than it used to be. So like compared to our generation, the boomer generation, and taken as a whole, men they're less able to contribute their gifts, their abilities to the world because of the way the world is. They have less ability to, you know, generate a productive income. The boomers were the richest generation in human history. This is not true anymore. So they're struggling with the fact that they cannot actualize their own God-given gifts or their own self-created gifts. Their own passionate endeavors. They're chronically under-resourced. And this is because of the external world. It's nothing to do with a personal failure. it's because of an anemic economy. You know, you may have heard of the term the gig economy. Well, it's not a new factor. It actually predated the boomers, but it's come back into modern society, the gig economy, the low-wage economy, the part-time economy. And so what this is doing is that it's creating a crisis of confidence amongst men as to what value they have in life. What the hell can they do with their lives? They have these gifts, but they can't realize them because of this world. And so all they can do is like sit in front of the internet and watch porn and watch streaming services and play video games and just chill, you know, as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you get into the divine masculine and the divine feminine, the spiritual aspect of life. How does a divine woman's spiritual practice differ from the masculine?
So there are sex differences between men and women. That's important to say first. And I identify those in the book. A woman naturally lives more from her body, in her body, and in the present moment, in the now. As I was saying earlier, men's brains are predisposed to rational thought, to systematic thinking, working memory, spatial awareness, that sort of thing. This is not the case with a woman. Women are because of having been marinated in estrogen instead of testosterone, their true nature is that of human beings who are deeply feeling, deeply loving, deeply compassionate. But at the same time, this is not recognized or referenced to them in the modern world and is given very little credence in modern times. Yet I believe this is a force that can heal the world. So a woman lives more from her body, but the spiritual practices that we find ourselves with are very useful and beautiful for men, not so much for women. They focus more on calming the mind, being present in the moment, being having awareness, and they're not focused so much on that which serves the divine feminine. So,
you point out that meditation is a practice of surrendering to the divine feminine within.
It is. It's a paradox, isn't it? It's a paradox. So this is the little black circle inside the white swoosh. This is what we need to embody as men when we meditate. We need to embody our divine feminine in order to put us in touch with our spiritual aspects. But for a woman, it's different. Her path is to feel as fully as possible. So as I describe it, she exists in what's called an amorphous state of yearning. She feels this existential emptiness within her, and this is her path. This is why she is attracted to man, the provider, man, the protector. The traditional role of men has been to provide and protect and to procreate with women until her cup runneth over, if you like. So for her, she needs to resolve herself to integrate the feeling of being existentially unsatisfied, of existentially unfulfilled or empty. And it offers her an opportunity for her own equanimity to bring herself back to herself. And it's important for her to realize this, because if she just goes around in life trying to get all the time, she'll end up draining a man of his life force energy just to meet her own inexhaustible needs.
Uh-huh. Now, we're almost running out of time here. And God, there's so much that we could talk about.
I know.
This is a bit, you know, pretty long book, and I really enjoyed it. I got a lot of great ideas out of it. Why don't we end with this whole thing? You talk about dependency, and you're kind of like seem to be pro-dependency. You know, you say a popular spiritual myth that is peddled, which is largely damaging, is that everything you need is within you. Let's speak to that for a minute before we have to go.
Yeah, there's a... Let me wrap my head around that one. There is
you're saying something... we need each other, and that's okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
You're saying we need each other, and that's okay.
Yeah, we're actually designed, you know, the men and women are designed for each other, despite how fucked up we are as men and women, in our genders. We're not optional extras for each other, is my contention. Right. So given that, and given the dysfunctionality we find ourselves in, my goal is to unite men and women together and to come together around creating a world for fully functional, fully integrated, fully realized men and women as a premise for their coexistence, living from their true natures as men, as women.
Well, God, like I said, there's so much more we could explore, but at this point we have run out of time. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.michaelronin.net. It's Michael Ronin, all one word, R-O-N-I-N.net. And for those who may have tuned in to Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. And don't worry, you can play and share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Michael Ronin, author of Modern Masculinity for the Conscious Man. Fascinating read on a subject that is not written about enough, in my opinion. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every other Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific time. Even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's divination.com, as well as via iTunes and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and podcasts. And thanks again to Michael Ronin and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.